to our podcast, Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
Listeners, you are in for a special treat today. A long time ago when Laura and I thought through this podcast and kind of the trajectory for what we wanted to do in recording episodes, of course, you've probably noticed by now we spend all of our time on the Texas PML UIL pieces. In our state, that's our prescribed music list, and we've looked at many surrounding states as well, and we kind of all have similar types of pieces on our music list for contest, which is awesome. So hopefully that's helped you so far. But of course, we wanted to talk through music from other parts of the year as well. For instance, marches, our fall concert programming, patriotic programs, holiday programs, different things, spring concert pieces that you can consider for your band program.
Today's special episode will be focused on some fall concert music that might be appropriate in your band program. We're going to talk about three easier pieces that you can consider programming. And because we're doing three pieces in one episode, if you've listened to our podcast before, you know that we go into quite a bit of detail in each episode focusing on just one piece. We give you rehearsal strategies and things like that that you need to consider when you're preparing a piece for contest for your band. Since we're discussing three pieces today, it's going to be more of a surface level idea of what each piece is about. Of course, we would expect that you go listen to all of these pieces to determine if they might be appropriate for your ensemble, but we hope you enjoy the three pieces we're going to talk about today.
And those are Midnight Mission by Brian Balmages, Scary Had a Little Lamb by Carol Britton Chambers, and Snake Pit by Tyler Arcari. Cheers to starting the conversation. All right, so we're going to start right away with Midnight Mission, which in our opinion is the easiest of the three easy pieces today.
It is in the key of concert B flat or G minor. It's only about a minute and a half long, but it has a really fast pace. It's got a really brisk tempo, which of course we know kids love fast music. Really simple. There's not a lot of range in any of the parts, so you don't need any really, really strong sections. I love some of the cool percussion instruments in this piece. I think it's a really cool opportunity to introduce some new percussion to a younger ensemble.
So, because it starts off with tempo blocks, which is new for probably some younger bands. And then this piece is marked sneaky. So it is marked staccato all the way throughout. But, you know, make sure whenever you're teaching this to a younger band, you're not having them clip the notes too short. This is a good opportunity to talk about the right way to do a staccato note, 50% of the note length, that sort of thing. So they're not playing it too choppy at the beginning of the year. Another cool thing is that it's going to start off with just the trumpet and alto playing the melody. And then you're going to have some other voices adding in as you're going on into measure 7, and then more voices at 11. So you're just layering.
Yeah, this is a piece that is rarely 2D. It's a lot of just kind of section spotlights, and which I like because it doesn't require a whole lot of endurance if your band is a little bit younger.
And it's great for younger bands because, like, it's well written, where you're not having to say, hey, you know, you don't have the melody, you need to play softer. It's literally just the ostinato quarter note behind the melody part most of the time. Again, at 11, we have more of the upper parts coming in with the trumpet, or where the trumpets had the melody before. And then we have some just low brass, like little mini scales going up from B flat to F, so nothing like super tricky.
I would be real mindful, like, of making sure that the students are aware of when the notes are marked staccato and when they're not.
Absolutely.
Right, so we want to make sure that we differentiate those things.
And then at 18, we're getting our first crescendo. And again, this piece is cool because it sounds like you're on a midnight mission. You're very quiet and sneaky at the beginning. And then we're going to all crescendo up to 20 together with a big crash cymbal hit and some cool percussion. And then we get soft again right away at 21. So it's like they were about to get caught and now they're not, with a cool vibra slap. And then we all are getting back into the staccato voices. And again, it's well written where you can kind of hear the melody when you're supposed to. Back to some tempo blocks in the percussion.
Great opportunity to teach matching between woodwinds and brass. We have a lot of this. One and two, three and four, one and two, making sure that they are matching the same style. So that's a really easy technique for them to focus on matching across the ensemble.
Absolutely. And then we're going to keep going into 32. It's still short here, except for in the melody part. And we get another crescendo going into 33. And this is our first, like, fuller moment for the band.
And we change styles.
Kind of like two robbers have found each other. So it's like the lows versus the highs. The low people voices, one and two, three and four, trumpet and flute. So it's like kind of like a little echo back and forth here. Again, now we're not staccato anymore. So really teaching that style difference to the students. Then we're going to crescendo even further into 37 with the trumpet melody along again with the upper woodwinds. But then we have this cool like counter melody in alto and horn, which is really fun for those kids to have brought out.
And we see accents now. So this might be something, if you're playing this with a really young ensemble, that, you know, you will want to spend some time on that, seeing the three different styles, like we have no articulation marking on the notes, staccatos, and accents. Again, just a good teaching tool.
And it's like throughout every single part, the same in all those areas. So it's not like, oh, trumpets, you're doing this one thing, and flutes, you're doing this other thing, which is really nice. Then we're back to the softer moment at 45. It's piano again. And so it's like the robbers got away, and so now we're sneaking again.
More vibra slap, which is always fun. Percussionists love all the cool accessories.
Absolutely. And we're continuing the same thing as before, except now whenever we have the half notes, they kind of lead in at like 48 going into 49, things like that. And then we have a big percussion moment again at 53, and it's getting us excited because then we're at the end of the piece with a nice full forte. So this piece is great for just like a short.
Very playable.
Yeah.
Very playable, good style things that you can teach. We love that it has the musical jump start at the end of the piece that you can use during your fundamental time with your band. So all in all, lots of fun, goes together very easily.
Yep, and it has style pages along with the musical jump start, which is really wonderful. So the second piece is Scary Had a Little Lamb. And this piece is super cute.
It's adorable. It's exactly what you think it would be. So, you know, Mary Had a Little Lamb in minor mode. It is in the key of E flat or C minor. It's a little over 2 minutes long, so it is a little bit longer than Midnight Mission. We do have split, like the flute and optional second flute part in the oboe. There's more percussion in this, a lot of percussion in this one, and all the percussion instruments are really important in this one. So we want to make sure the percussion get to have lots of fun with all those accessories.
Yes. And this one's not very quick in tempo, so you can spend a little bit more time talking about the style differences. As opposed to Midnight Mission, you can see right away that we start off staccato with accents, but making sure that that is something that you really pay attention to because this theme comes back over and over and over. One, two, three, and four. One, two, three, and four. So just really teaching them how in one measure they can change up the style. At five, we have this really cool ratchet part, and it comes back over and over and over, the same rhythm, but in different percussion instruments. So that's really fun, and the kids love it.
Which I think is a great rehearsal. Like, you could take all of those different instruments and have your percussionist, you're on triangle, you're on tambourine, you're on ratchet. Let's practice this part together. Yep. Rest two, rest four, rest two, three.
Yep.
So that's a good little rehearsal strategy for you.
And then at nine, the trumpets come in with the melody with flute and oboe and clarinet. And this is Mary Had a Little Lamb, but Scary. And so the kids just think it's really fun. You have a little alto line and a little tenor bass line. So it's not very difficult in the amount of parts that are in it. It's real easy to put together. And this is a great opportunity, too, to teach follow through. Just like when you're teaching Mary Had a Little Lamb to beginners and you have to teach them not to play Mary Had a Little Lamb, Little Lamb, Little Lamb. You know, we can teach, you know, longer phrases and how to properly breathe and things like that. So that's a good rehearsal technique.
I like to get the kids really invested. Like, for example, in beginner flute class when we're learning the thumb B flat and B natural, we'll do Mary Had a Little Lamb in major mode and minor mode, and we make up stories about what do we think happened to the lamb. So that's a great thing for younger kids to have fun with this. Like, what do we think? Scary had a little lamb. What's the story behind this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Get the kids invested.
Yep. And then at 15, we have a little bit of a style change again with accents. And this is kind of reminiscent of what we had at the beginning. And then we have accented half notes between uppers and lowers. So just making that be different, because that is a totally different part than what you had before. Then we're back to 17, kind of having some stylistic things like before. Now we're adding in some slurs,
which we haven't seen.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then we have some accidentals in 20, but the bass line is really important here. And then we're going into a forte section at 23. That sounds like the beginning.
And you'll notice like we've gotten rid of the staccatos in this section. So making sure that the students understand the difference in the playing that stylistically differently.
Yep. At 25, now the hi-hat has that part that the ratchet had before. And we're still just having long quarter notes with the rest, touching the rest. Then we have this little 2 and 3 and 4.
I love the little wiggles
and
the woodwinds.
And so like telling them to add a little crescendo is cute. Mm-hmm. Then at 29, this cool tom part is really fun. And the tom player is just going to love it. So now we have the scary had a little lamb part again, but it's in a round. So the trumpets and the low brass start at 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. But then the upper people come in one measure later and continue on. So it's literally around as you're going through this part. Making sure that students understand not to breathe between the half note going into the next measure, like 31 to 32 in the uppers, 32 to 33 in the brass.
Which, of course, is going to be their tendency with a younger ensemble.
That way it kind of sounds very cyclical in nature throughout this whole portion. Then we all kind of come together at 36 on two half notes leading into 37. And now the tambourine gets that part that the percussion have had. And we have more of like a low person part and then a high person part, kind of back and forth here with accents and staccatos again.
Making sure students count rest really carefully. Some of those entrances on beat two for sure. And after long rest, they're great little rhythm and counting exercises.
Yep. 41, we have that tom part back, and then we're back with the melody again and the trumpets, and then we have the same round again in the flute and upper woodwinds. We just don't have the same round effect in the low people part here. Then we have more half notes leading in and crescendoing with a little bit of some flute and oboe clarinet fun at 48. Leading into 49 with the triangle on that special part.
Which this cracks me up. I love the band gets to say, bah! Which
kids love it.
I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, like I had a French horn player when we played this, and man, she was the loudest ba-er ever. And it was so funny because everybody knew she was just going to be really loud. So,
well, and I would it's an effect. Like, I would encourage the kids to be funny and obnoxious with it, right?
You could have like a kid dress up with like a little sheep hat and like stand up. Oh my gosh, that'd be so funny. Anyways, but it's cute and the kids think it's fun. We're back to being kind of quiet here. Then we start with the round again. So at 53, now the low people start it. And then trumpet and flute this time, instead of rounding back with the same part, they have the scary had a little lamb part. So it's kind of like both parts morphing together here. And then 56, we're leading into the ending. The conclusion is really simple. And we've got five notes coming down in a mini scale again in the low people to the end. And it
nice
ends with a cute
slap,
little vibra slap. Yeah.
Solo at the end.
So this piece is really well written and not difficult in range. Not difficult, like it doesn't go above the break for clarinet. The highest note in trumpet is a B flat. So, I mean, that makes it pretty simple to put together.
Has a little bit more meat than Midnight Mission,
right,
but still very playable. And I love all of the percussion accessories in this one.
Yes, your percussionist will love that one. And our final easy fall concert piece is Snake Pit by Tyler Arcari. And this piece is really fun too.
So this one is definitely a little more challenging on the easy level. We have split clarinet parts. We have split trumpet parts. We are in the key of concert B flat or G minor. It is a little over a minute and a half long. the clarinet part does cross the break. The first clarinet part in this does cross the break, but most of the time when that happens, the first clarinet part is literally an octave above second clarinet. So you can kind of, you can make the decision if you even want to pass out the first clarinet part.
Right.
You know, that's dependent on your ensemble.
This piece, and as she mentioned, the range is easy. Trumpets go up to C and trombone euphonium go up to above the staff B flat. So it's not horrible. It also has really fun percussion. The timpani part is really important in this piece.
Yes.
Extremely important, as well as the snare drum part. And then there are a lot of accessories that are fun for this piece as well. So you do have to have a pretty stacked percussion section. You can't, I mean, if you want to play it like to its true ability. It starts off slow, more mysterious in nature, kind of like Midnight Mission, kind of nice and sneaky with staccatos, a couple of accents here and there. You do have a long note in flute and oboe, so just making sure that we're tuning that fifth.
And that they're using vibrato if they are ready for that. Yes.
And then at five, you know, we're adding in, we're doing the little one and again, and we get a new part in the flute, clarinet, sax. And then we're adding in a few more parts, and then we're getting exciting at eight, going one and two and three and four. And then there's an accelerando going into 10.
Which that accelerando will be something you need to spend some time working on to make it.
Moving your fingers right together.
To make it as even as possible. And I love, and this little eighth note thing comes back a couple of times in here, and I love it because it's a great technique exercise, an even finger exercise for those woodwinds. It's great sectional work, anything like that. It's going to be good technique for them.
Yep. And then you're going allegro at 10, like around 1:30 is good. And then percussion's going to really help you get into your groove here. So make sure that you've worked this part out a lot with them.
Kabasa is super important here too.
Yes.
That's that snake effect.
And the conga part too. And then we have the low people are playing, again, not too short on these accents. And then we have, again, one and two and three and four and one. I always taught the students whenever we played this that that's the snake slithering through the ground. Every time that comes back, you're being the snake. Anytime the little chromatics come in. And then 14, same thing, except now we've got upper people on the background part, and then we all slither into 18. And now we have trumpet melody along with flute and lower clarinet. And this is like a little bit more like, it's like the king snake. I think that's how I brought it up to the students last time we played it. It was like the cobra snake or something.
Snares are off here.
Yep. So it's not going to take away from the trumpet part. And trumpet one and two are on the same notes here. So that's good. That's not like a super independent part. Lows have a very easy part. Horns are on like counter melody harmony along with them. So just make sure that they're on the right pitches as well.
And in the percussion, the only thing that's really challenging in this, obviously we have all of the eighth notes that are happening in the kabasa and in the snare. So making sure that those move together and that your snare drummer is keeping their taps low and their accents high so that we get the groove feel of the one and two and three and four and one and two and three. And then the bass drum and triangle are in line with those on the accents. That rhythm looks harder than it is if you make sure the students understand they're with the accents on the moving part. That'll help them fit that together.
Right. And then we're going into the lows, get a little snake part at 25 going into 26. And now we have a timpani solo. And they're extremely important here. They should play this very, very confidently and loud, maybe even harder mallets. That's up to you. And then the lows have this really cool like jamming part that just sounds fun along with the timpani. Encourage the students not to breathe on the bar line between 27 and 28. Same thing as we go from 29 to 30. And then the upper people add in at 30.
We're full ensemble with this same rhythm.
The same rhythm,
here.
Yep, and same style. And then 32 and 33 just kind of have a cool sound to them, but a lot of like different accidentals written in. So working on making sure everybody's got the right pitches and the right accidentals carrying through the measure, and you know, bring out some of those harmonies is a really cool idea. And then at 34, we're back to that trumpet, king, cobra, snake idea. And then we have a new idea come in at measure 35 on beat 3 from like the mid voices, like
clarinet, horn,
clarinet. Yeah. And that part is pretty important too. And, you know, I told the kids that's a new snake, you know, whatever. I don't know any types of snakes. I'm not even sure what I said at the time. Like, it's a grass snake. Who knows? But like, you can make it fun like that, like different snakes, you know, coming in together and fighting for who's the king snake. You know, and this is kind of the same thing, just a new melody part. And then 41 is all accented and we're all descending. And 42 is the snake fight. That's what I called it. And it's got a gong hit and everything. It's kind of like, you know, Karate Kid or whatever, like fight time. And the
brass are all on these longer valued notes. They're like giving that big kind of aggressive harmonic foundation. Woodwinds are on the moving
part. They're doodling like little snakes, like in the snake pit, like slithering around.
Being careful not to be too loud.
They're just in the background. They're not the king cobra snake here. And percussion gets to play like cool parts going into the next section as well.
And you also want to make sure those woodwinds are not going one and two, three and four.
Right.
One and two, three and four.
Yeah, because they're slithering. Two.
Yeah.
And then we're going to continue this while the trumpets are still being the king snake. And then we all do the slither again going into 50. And we're back to the same part as before, now with snares on. So your snare drummer needs to be.
And a way more active. This is accurate, but not loud. At this tempo. Those 16th notes, we want to make sure that that's really even. One, two, and three, and four, and a one, two. Just make sure your snare drummer is really confident with that.
And it's the same thing as what we had before. We're getting more voices doing the doodlies going into the ending again. And, you know, just nice finish with everybody accenting together. This piece is super cute too. And the kids love it because
it's a little more challenging.
Yeah. A little bit more challenging, but fun to put together. A little bit more like you have to think about balance a little bit more in this piece. It's not written out 100% where it's like sneaky, like Midnight Mission or Scary Head, a Little Lamb. Like everybody's kind of playing all the time on this piece.
And more independent parts for students to be aware of. But still, all three relatively easy, very playable pieces for young band for a fall concert programming. We hope that you'll consider programming one of these pieces.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of
Band BFFs.